think about David was expecting, Bathsheba was expecting their baby. Oh yes, thank you. Little ones can be dismissed in the junior church. They were expecting a baby. Baby boy lived for 7 days and died. David fasted. He prayed, fasted and prayed. He thought he could change God's mind. God had made his mind up. David had killed a man to have his wife. It gave the enemies of Israel a chance to, to blaspheme Israel. With that, God was displeased. So David had to get used to death because he'd see death in his family the rest of his life as a result. But after he found out that the baby did not live, he then raised up himself. He changed his clothes, his raiment. He washed himself as he threw ashes on himself. And then he went to the temple and prayed. I think about that song each time Scotty sings it. Do you realize how hard it would have been for him to worship? He went and worshiped. And sometimes you'll find when it's the hardest time in your life to worship, that's probably when you should do that. When it's hardest to do it, do it. Many times we might be tempted to think that doubting God every now and then is no big deal. After all, we've all done it at times, especially when we've had to face some challenging situations in our life. What we don't realize is that there is a blessing waiting for us on the other side of the problem that we're faced with. If we would just trust and obey God, but we doubt and we disobey Him. And I want to talk about the consequences of that. It can be serious and irreversible. It's exactly what the Israelites had discovered when they had yielded to fear and they refused to obey the Lord. They were living in Egypt for 430 years. The children of Israel were rescued by God, by through Moses, from their slavery. Of course, you remember the story. He miraculously parted the Red Sea for them to escape. He drowned the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. He led the people through the desert to the very edge of the promised land that he had told them about, just to the edge. Only Moses was allowed to see it. They, however, only came to the border. So Moses sent out 12 spies, that would be one from each tribe. He sent them into Canaan. And of course, they returned with the report that the land was certainly good and it was fruitful. But, that little word, but. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, giant. Now, what's interesting and you need to know is that where Israel's fighting now is our promised land. Now, America keeps trying to put their nose in it, and that's a big mistake. And every time we stick our nose in it, we're going to get another hurricane. Mark my words. That's God's land. It's His people's land. They happen to be trespassing. They're trespassers. It's a legitimate war. It's a legitimate claim. And we keep trying to stick our nose in it. We'd be better off to take care of our own problems here at home. But we've got enough of them. It's their land. It's God's land. And the threats from Iran, you don't need to worry about that. God's much bigger than Iran. He's much bigger. So Caleb, one of the spies, quieted the people. That means he tried to calm them down. We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. Look at those nice positive words. That's found in chapter 14 of Numbers, if you want to follow after, because I'm going to give you a bunch of verses where I get this information. That's taken from Numbers chapter 14. That was verse 30. But some of the other spies gave a bad report because they doubted God. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so were we in their sight. I want you to notice the sight thing. Seeing things. What did Peter see when God bid him to come out and walk on the water? What did he see? Big waves. Knowing in the area where they were fishing was very deep water. But he looked. You know, we got problems sometimes with looking, seeing things. We should have faith without sight. So they saw things and it scared them. The disciples were in the boat. Water coming in over the sides of the boat. There was a great storm. Fishermen are used to storms. This was a great storm. Something they haven't experienced for quite some time. And they got afraid. They had a lapse of faith. They forgot who was in the boat with them. Isn't that happened sometimes in our lives? We forget who's in the boat with us. We get looking in the wrong places. We listen to the wrong voices. We hear voices and we listen to some of our friends who aren't serving the Lord. We're going to get wrong advice if you do that. You're not going to get such good advice. So we listen to the wrong voices. We see things that scare us and fear us. Israelites, failure of faith. Listen to what they did. The congregation wept loudly all night and accused God of bringing them to this land to be killed by their enemies, who would then take their wives and their little ones. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Instead of trusting the Lord to overcome them, they wanted to go back to Egypt, back to slavery. At least there they had food to eat. Forgot about the food that God provided, the quail, the manna. They forgot all about that. Fact, there's a lot of things they forgot about. They forgot about the crossing of the Red Sea. They forgot about the plagues that God brought upon Egypt. They forgot about all that. Maybe they willingly wanted to forget it. You'd think after somebody's seen all that stuff, what would be a bunch of giants? Who cares? What would giants matter after you've seen all these miraculous things that they've seen? What would a few giants mean? That's what I couldn't understand. Why would they allow these giants to bother? Who cares? I've heard the phrase, the bigger they are, the what? The harder they fall. Oh, you heard that one too. You bet. With God, all things are possible. With us, we see a problem, but God sees a possibility. He just wanted them to believe in Him. With God, we can do it. That's what Joshua and Caleb said. We can do it. They encouraged the people. And they warned them not to rebel against God or to fear those people of the land. Don't be afraid of them, verses 6 through 10. But instead of heeding those faithful spies' advice, the people wanted to stone them. Does that sound familiar? God sent prophets to help His people and they turned around and stoned them. They wanted to stone these men. God said to Moses, how long will the these people spurn me? How long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? Verse 11, God's reminding them of the things he's done, just done for them. How could they so soon forget these miraculous things he had just done for them? His goodness and mercy and love he had offered them. What amazing blessings to have a land of their own. But they refused to believe him. Instead, they had a faith failure, a failure to trust him when they were confronted with a challenge and a temptation. Instead of believing that his promises were true, they made some of the biggest mistakes in their lives by listening to the wrong voices and rejecting the Lord and his land. Wow.
Sight. God doesn't look as outward men look, and they look at the outward appearance.
sees the heart. God had already prepared a man with a wonderful and good heart. His name was David. He was taking care of sheep. God had already prepared him to be king. But no, they had to have Saul, head and shoulders over everybody. Well, who ran away from the giant? Saul, who was head and shoulders over everybody. Who fought the giant? Little Rudy David, just a little fella. Little compared to King Saul. But he got the job done, didn't he? You betcha. Because David loved the Lord. David had lots of conversation with the Lord when he was tending sheep. He had a lot of time to talk to the Lord. That's why he wrote the Psalms. He was a man after God's own heart. God seen his heart. God forgave David, but God left him live with the consequences. And indeed he did. As we will also for our choices. The penalty for their disobedience was death. Your corpses shall fall in the wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land which I have swore to settle you, except Caleb and Joshua. Verse 29 and 30. You know their disobedience also affected their children. That's what I think sometimes about the diseases. I think many of the diseases are hereditary diseases. Doesn't the scripture say she can visit the sin unto the third and fourth generation? Did you ever think about that? Isn't that why they said to Jesus when the man needed to be healed from his sight? Was the reason that he was blind? Was it because of his parents? Do you remember the question they presented to Jesus? Was it his parents that sinned that he was born this way? Remember the question? They also knew the scriptures that sin can be passed on to the third and fourth generation. But the Lord responded, for this purpose, for this reason, and for this day was this man blind. Do you remember that? Warns at this day that God could touch him and he could receive his sight. It was for the glory of God. But he did respond to the question, was it his parents that sinned? You see, your disobedience can affect your children. Did you ever think about why some of the things that you suffer in your lifetime was not brought about perhaps by your parents or your grandparents? Have you thought about that? I have. And I've asked God to forgive me. I've asked Him to forgive my parents, my grandparents, and whoever, wherever else this came from. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them. Maybe they don't know what they do. They're really not familiar with what they're doing. Your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I will bring them in and they will know the land which you have rejected. Verse 31. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness. Verse 33. There it is. Children will suffer. And then lastly, they made things worse by trying to correct their own disobedience without asking God's help. Boy, boy, I wouldn't ask for a show of hands, but my hand would have to go up. Did you ever try to do things without checking with God? Ooh, boy, I did. Did I ever get a spanking? One that my dad could have never gave me. But boy, when God spanks, He spanks hard. I've been spanked by God. I know what that's like. And I can tell you there's no human spanking like it. None. You'll never forget it when you've been spanked by God. They made things worse. When Moses told the people of the Lord's decree, they mourned. They tried to change the outcome. This listen, they rose up early and went up to the ridge of the hill country, saying, here we are, we have indeed sinned, but we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised. Ooh, big mistake. Big mistake. There's a mistake coming. Indeed, they did try to go up and take the land, and they were killed, every one of them that went to battle. They were all killed. They tried to fix it on their own. You don't do things like that. God was faithful to forgive them of their sins, especially those who genuinely repented. But he doesn't always erase those consequences. Israel's attempt to avoid God's penalty resulted in further rebellion against him. And Moses warned them, saying, why then are you transgressing the commandment of the Lord when it will not succeed? Do not go up, or you will be struck down before your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. Boy, when somebody tells you don't go because God's not going with you, you better stay right where you're at. Don't you move. I wouldn't want to go anywhere where God doesn't want to go with me. How about you? Sometimes people try anyway. They tried to do it back then, and they still try to do it. They refused to listen, and as a result, they suffered a great military defeat. Wow. This part of Israel's history has got some strong lessons for us. Because we too struggle with lapses of faith or faith failures. We listen to the wrong voices. We lose our focus on the Lord. We forget his past faithfulness. We develop a distorted view of the situation, and we back away in fear from the opportunities that God has placed before us. And so the solution to preventing faith failure is get into God's Word. Let God's Word become your focus. Remember that the Lord is always faithful to His Word and promises to be with us wherever we go. Wow. Amen. Our song group can come up, our song leaders can come up. Have you ever doubted God? That God will fulfill one of his promises to you? Maybe you're still waiting on a promise, one of God's promises. How did you focus your thoughts? Have you ever tried to correct an act of disobedience in your own life? Have you ever tried to fix it? You know God looks at that as rebellion. You know how you should fix it? I messed up. I made another stupid choice. Would you please forgive me? Because I need you to forgive me. I messed up. I really messed up. You see, that's what God's waiting to hear from you. He's waiting to hear from you. Messed up. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. It's all he wants to hear. But sometimes we've got too much pride to talk in that manner. We just think God should fix it without saying nothing. It's kind of like the generation that's passed. They didn't have a whole lot of words like I love you. They just thought if they worked real hard and put food on the plate that, you know, you should know that I love you because I had a job, made sure there was food in the refrigerator. Are you responding? Do you understand the generation I'm talking about? They weren't real full of I love yous. But if I asked you how many times you heard your father tell you I love you, you'd be surprised how many hands would not go up. It's what we should all hear. I love you. Did your father ever tell you he loved you? I can tell you my dad wasn't good with those words. But toward the end of his life, He did say, I love you. Why do we have to wait to the end of our life to do that? When's the last time you told your children that you love them? God loves you. Tell your children you love them. Don't wait till it's too late.